He's on the line right now, ladies and gentlemen, the head coach of the 76ers. And we'll go late to our break because this is certainly more important. The head coach, Mr. Brett Brown, joins us. Brett, how are you feeling today?
Mike.
Yeah, we had a hard time hearing you on that one, Brett.
Yeah, no, Mike, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. Our connection's a little messed up, but first of all, listen, congratulations on a year that was a pretty wondrous year, and you got the fans engaged this year and back with 76er basketball. I know it ended disappointingly for you, so when now you've had a couple days to look back at it, how do you feel? Because I know you needed a couple days to reflect on it.
I mean, I'm still upset that we're not playing tonight. You know, and I will feel that way, I'm sure, for a while. You know, when you sort of think it deeper through and recognize some of the things we did, you know, you're proud of that. But the bottom line truly is I wish we were playing tonight.
All right. Well, now, what do you think in the first two games of this series, Boston really bothered you guys defensively? Was this something that you did not expect from them, or did they play harder than you thought defensively? What happened in the first two games that made this Sixer team that had been playing really well offensively kind of bogged down?
Well, let's start with the fact that they are the league's number one defensive team. And, you know, by all metrics, all year, they have been the league's number one defensive team. And so scoring on the best team in defense in the league was always going to be a challenge. I think more to your point, Mike, when you get into, you know, coach speak stuff, they really did a good job of defending our perimeter people. They, you know, they may try to make JJ put it to the floor. They tried to make Cove put it to the floor. They tried to make Marco put it to the floor. They completely were sort of magnets to our three-point shooters. And then, you know, we're okay to let Joel score a lot of twos if that's the way it played out. And so I do give them credit on how they're built, but defensively it was always going to be a hard ask.
Brett, when we look at let's get a little technical here, because I want you to explain to the people what this is all about here, because we can only kind of guess. Now, JJ you guys were trying to free him off screens, which you had done successfully for most of the year. What did they do to prevent him from getting clean looks off of screens? Did they double a screen? And if they did, Chris ball movement would usually defeat that. So why didn't that happen?
I think you go back to the origin of the play. When you really study how they defended passers, it supports, you know, my original comment that they bent our perimeter people backwards a lot of times, you know, when you're just trying to make a pass or you receive a ball, you're trying to dribble. And some of it, you know, they put good athletes on JJ and length on JJ, and Marcus Smart is one of the true sort of, you know, pit bulls of the league. And they crawled into us. They did a really good job of guarding us. And defensively, like I say, you give them a lot of credit.
So the open spots on the floor that normally would have been there were covered because of their quickness and their tenacity on defense?
I think all that. Their length, their aggressiveness. I think you roll out seven athletes like they do, it's a heck of a lot different than playing Miami. You know, the athletes, let's just start there, are sort of different than the Miami wings. And with that in mind, Mike, you know, they did a good job of defending us. They really did a good job, when you cut to the chase, of defending the three-point line.
We're talking to Brett Brown, the head coach of the Sixers. Brett, let's talk about Ben Simmons a little bit and what they did to him, because it was clear what they were doing was kind of gating him with a second defender and keeping his straight line drives to the basket, you know, kind of out of sequence. When you gate somebody like that, there usually would be a guy open. What happened there that bogged Ben down from finding an open man, or from kind of quitting on the play a lot? When he saw that, he picked up his dribble a lot.
Well, they put a few people on him, primarily to start the game, Swarford, and, you know, Aaron Baines, who was guarding Joel, and a lot of times Joel is in trail, would just run back to that foul line area as we're running down the floor. And so Ben's vision line immediately was looking at Horford and looking at Aaron Baines as Joel Embiid, you know, came down the floor and trailed. In general, they did show a crowd around Ben, and with their length and with their athleticism, they could, you know, show a bit of a crowd and athletically get out to our shooters. It was a series that I think is going to help Ben especially grow over the summertime. It's clear how the league, you know, and the Boston Celtics defending him. And I do think, Mike, truly, if you put your big boy's hat on, I know it's going to help him. It's his first taste of the playoffs. He had a hell of a year. I think he's the eminent rookie of the year. But this Celtics series is what will be most on his mind leading into the summer.
All right, now you have these exit interviews, so you're in a one-on-one conversation with all these guys on what they need to do in the offseason to come back and improve their game. His weaknesses showed up in this game, and his inexperience showed up. So what are you instructing him to do in the offseason to come back as a different Ben Simmons?
Well, there's three areas that we've been focusing on, and we'll continue to do that. In no order, but these three is his free throw, his ability to finish at the rim, and, you know, the obvious one, his 18-foot, 17-foot pull-up jump shot. And they're all so kind of interconnected on his greatest ways to find improvement. We get who he is in open court. We understand that he, at 6'10", is just an incredible athlete with breakaway speed. But when it becomes a half-court game and when people follow you, you know, these are the three areas that will dictate his summer workouts. And as I said, I think he's going to knock it out of the park. I really feel like he's going to have a hell of a summer and come back a better, more skilled player.
Brett, there's a little bit of a paradox with Ben in that I've seen him release the ball. There's not really nothing wrong with the release. He gets it in his fingertips. His elbow's out a little bit. And, you know, there are people that will besiege this radio station with calls. Like, why doesn't the coaching staff demand that he shoot the medium-range jump shot? Now, you guys probably encourage him to shoot it, and you work on it in practice. Why did he not shoot it, and what could you have done to influence him shooting the ball more, if anything?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a shot that we completely promote. It's a shot that he does work on. And the obvious answer is he didn't feel comfortable shooting it. And I think, you know, with time, as he moves along, he will. I think his ability to impact the game that we saw, like, in the regular season and even in the Miami series, is all over the place. The area that gets zoomed in on the most is this thing that we're talking about. And although I think it is a huge part of his future, you know, at this stage, there were other ways that he could impact the game. It's just what we remember last is the Boston series, and that did stand out. But it's a shot that he works on. It's a shot we encourage. And I think you're going to see it evolve over the next few years, starting next year, on a more frequent basis.
Well, what does he say when you guys say, hey, Ben, you got to take that 15-footer? What's his response to that?
Well, it's true. Some of it, he can go one more dribble and be, you know, 2 feet from the rim. Lots of times, it's not always the answer. Lots of times, it is the answer when maybe it's sort of like the first cleanest look, but you go one extra dribble, and at 6'10", you know, he feels like he can be at the rim. And I think, you know, there's obviously a comfort level. You know, he feels like he can impact the game in other ways. But we all get it. You know, it's something he didn't do at LSU. He really didn't do that much this year. And we'll continue to try to make that a part of his offensive package.
Yeah, I keep looking at this one play where he got in the paint in the last minute and Baines was kind of backpedaling and he had an 8-footer he didn't take and he threw a bounce pass to TJ, who was like under the basket, which is really not a good decision because he's not going to do much with that. Now, you guys wound up getting an open look with J.J. Redick out of there, but that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. That 8-footer when he gets in the paint, he just won't take.
Yeah, I know, and we've talked about this now for 2 minutes, and I hear you. I that's all right. Like, I get it. And I think, Mike, you know, you play that thing out where you got TJ back cutting in you is true. You know, maybe you wish you had that shot again. Go to the finish game. You know, TJ drives it and then hits a wide open, you know, wide open for the game, JJ Redick, that you'll take all day, every day. And it's just a part of his growth and the team's growth, but we understand.
All right. Let me ask you about your rotation in this series. And you know, a lot of people questioned it, and you were reluctant to play some guys. It seemed to me after the first two games that I thought your mindset would be that I have to interject some more athletes in the game. The athletes you have on the bench, I mean, Holmes is an athlete, Fultz is an athlete, but you weren't going to use those guys, and I guess a lot of people wonder why.
Well, let's start out with, we were 25 and I think 4 after the All-Star break in the regular season. Then we won 16 games in a row at home. And then we played the Miami Heat and, you know, won 4-1. We were playing good basketball. And the guys that got us there, I was comfortable with. And to make sort of wholesale adjustments, although they might sound good in the light of day, is at times difficult. You know, we came in with TJ and decided to inject him into the lineup. My decision to, you know, do that was based on some of the things that you just said. But to go back and play, like to your point, Rashawn Holmes, when it's clear to me, you know, the game was more of a small ball game. We played Ersan at some five, and we played Amir a little bit like I had been doing in the regular season. Those were the decisions we made, and those were the reasons for it. And, you know, I think the TJ decision certainly helped us out.
All right, so you would not, in hindsight, have changed your rotation?
Not much. There are times I wonder if I could have used, you know, Justin instead of one of our wings. You know, that's the one. There are times that, you know, you wonder, could Markel have come in, you know, and done some things. There are always things, you know, in the light of day that you think about, and I will think about. But I did what I did. I'm proud of our season, and I do wish, Mike, we were still playing tonight. But, yeah, the series, you know, taught us a bunch of things, and some of those things I've just shared.
Brent, there are a lot of people that don't know what to make of Markel Fultz. So maybe you can explain what we may see next year, and what have you instructed him to do in the offseason, and will he play in the summer league?
I personally hope he does play in the summer league. I think that he for sure is going to take the disappointing year that he had, some of it out of his control, and channel that frustration into a very sort of disciplined, committed, almost kind of angry off-season workout. And we will get him on track. He will have a fantastic summer, I know. I think that he will come back sort of reloaded and fresh and just ready to play basketball again. And I suppose in some level, you know, show people exactly why he was the first player chosen. I'm excited to bring him back. He is, along with Ben and Joel, you know, the kind of the cornerstones of the club's future. And I feel like he's going to show people why he was the first player chosen. I get tremendous confidence that people are going to get it as soon as he can start playing basketball on a more repetitive basis at age, you know, 19/20.
All right, Brett, this is the last question, because and this is based on something that you said yesterday about it was clear to me after the first two games that you guys needed more. And I think you reiterated that. And there are a lot of people who say, okay, well, if Embiid and Simmons improve and Fultz comes back and you get a draft pick and you sign somebody else, you're going to be okay. But you believe right now you need more than that to get into that upper echelon, since now you're chasing Boston. You believe you need an impact marquee free agent to go forward?
To win a championship, which is the only reason that I am here. It's the only thing that sort of dictates my day. It's our compass. To win a championship, yes. Yes, I do. And, you know, we can grow this thing at a pace that's wise. And I know Brian and the owners, and I'm a part of all of that. That still kind of rules today. But the decision and the balance of what is patient and wise versus if we want to win a championship tomorrow, I've answered your question. We need more.
All right, so there are two impact free agents out there, and there's a couple guys that a lot of people think you can acquire in a trade. We're talking about that level of player that you want to add.
That's correct.
All right, Brett, listen, go get them, please. And man, wherever you're going, vacation-wise, to chill out, 52 games is a significant achievement. And I know we're all disappointed you lost to Boston, but I think it's clear to most people that this team needed a little more personnel-wise. So great job, and good talking to you this year, and we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, good stuff, Mike. Thanks, man.
All right, Brett, there he is. Brett Brown, the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, laying it right out.